This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The time for action is not now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The U.S. economy is in kind of a purgatory. It's being tormented by recession and high prices at the same time. The Federal Reserve wants to deal with both very carefully. Today, the Fed begins a two-day meeting, but it's not expected to change its key interest rate. The Fed's been cutting that rate for months. It's now at 2%. But Bernanke and company believe it's time for a wait-and-see approach. The stock markets seem to be on the same page. There was very little trading on Wall Street yesterday. Same thing with the overseas markets this morning. In Asia, the markets barely moved by the close. European shares are down about 0.5% so far. The Dow lost less than a point yesterday. It's still at 11,842, and the S&P 500 is still at 1318. But tech stocks fell almost 1%. The Nasdaq dropped 20 points to 2385. Tech stocks were down, but a report out this morning says tech jobs have been growing. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
I say tech workers, you probably think Silicon Valley. And you're right. A new report from the high-tech trade group AEA found that one of every three workers in the San Jose region works for the tech industry. No surprise there. But the report did uncover some high-tech sleeper regions in North Carolina and the Northeast Corridor. Matthew Kazmierczak co-authored the paper.
16% of the population in Durham is in the tech industry. And then in Washington, D.C., 13% of the private sector population is in the tech industry. And, you know, D.C. is not a place that's traditionally thought of as a tech center.
The number of cyber jobs in manufacturing, telecom, software, and engineering increased in 51 of the 60 metro areas studied. The report relied on data from 2006, the latest available. But Kazmierczak says the tech market has softened somewhat this year. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
In Congress today, the focus is on those two untouchables, Social Security and Medicare. A House committee looks at ways to deal with the issues rather than avoid them. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
The Budget Committee will hear from David Walker of the Peterson Foundation. He's in favor of creating a bipartisan commission by next year to give politicians cover from issues they'd rather not touch.
Tough choices are going to have to be made, and the commission may provide a means for those choices to be made sooner rather than later.
Bob Greenstein of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities will also testify, but he doesn't think a commission is the way to solve tough fiscal challenges.
I say that as someone who was a commissioner on the last deficit reduction commission, which was a complete failure.
Greenstein says legislation to create a commission should be put on hold until there's a new president and a new Congress. But he says elected leaders will still have to do the tough negotiating themselves.
A commission cannot succeed in forcing the speaker, the president, the majority and minority leaders to reach agreement if they're not inclined to do so.
In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BrandLeak, the news organization dedicated to the information needs of strategic-minded marketing executives, with real-time coverage now searchable at brandleak.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
The price of oil seems to be yo-yoing in a certain range, just under $140 a barrel. This morning it's at $138. One thing people have their eye on is what's happening in Nigeria. Production is down some 300,000 barrels a day because of more attacks on oil pipelines and rigs. Last week, a rig well off the coast of Nigeria was attacked. And again, a certain group claimed responsibility. Let's find out more about this situation. We're joined by our correspondent in Africa, Gretchen Wilson. Gretchen, what do we know about these militants?
Sure. Well, the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, and it's a pre-decentralized group of about a couple thousand members. Most of them are young men from the Niger Delta, and they're known mostly for kidnapping foreign oil workers and waging some attacks on pipelines that are inland. What the main thing you need to know about them is that their efforts have effectively curbed production of oil in Nigeria by as much as 20% in recent years.
And what exactly does this group want?
Well, just like most of the people who live in the Niger Delta, they want to tap into the billions upon billions of dollars that are being pumped out of the ground. It's an extremely poor area, and they want to get access to the resources that are being pumped out of what they consider their land.
And what about the oil companies who are doing their work here? Some of their workers have been taken hostage and things like that. So how are they involved in this process of trying to prevent these attacks from happening?
Multinational oil companies are very engaged and very involved with government, trying to figure out what kind of solution they can come up with to get these attacks to stop. One of the things that's notable about the offshore oil attack of the Royal Dutch Shell oil rig is that it happened 75 miles off the coast of Nigeria. And up until now, most people had seen these oil rigs as immune from militant attacks. They're very concerned about what this may mean for their future installations and for future operations. If these could be attacked by guys in speedboats, what does that mean for the future of oil production in the Gulf of Guinea?
And Gretchen, how about the U.S. government? This is the fourth largest supplier of oil to the U.S., being Nigeria. What is the U.S. government doing?
The U.S. government is also very engaged in watching this very closely. As you said, Nigeria is hugely important to U.S. markets. It is the fourth biggest supplier, and the fact that this has been a disruption is pointing many people to try to put pressure on the government of Nigeria to make this problem go away. As American consumers, we go through about 1 million barrels a day from that country alone, so we can't really stand to lose 300,000 barrels a day.
All right, Gretchen Wilson reporting from Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.